One Shiny Podcast is headed to North Carolina for a live show in Durham before the Carolina Duke game on March 9th. The show will be on March 8th, and we have some special guests that will be with us at the Carolina Theater at 8 p.m. on March 8th. Tickets are available at carolinatheater.org as well as via the link in the episode description. Again, that is carolinatheater.org. Theater is spelled T-H-E-A-T-R-E. That is the fancy way to spell it. So go check that out. Again, we'll be live in Durham, North Carolina at the Carolina Theater. I'm very excited about some of the guests that
I want to say who it is so bad, but I can't.
Yeah, we're trying our best. We don't want to say anything and then it all fall through and then people think that I have led them astray. Very excited about the show.
If it falls through, I'll be mad because I'm so goddamn excited about one of these guys.
Yeah, please.
You and me are going to have problems if you can't get this done.
Yeah. Today. Oh, man. The pressure is on, but we're very excited for the show. Appreciate everybody that's bought tickets so far. Shout out to everybody that's reaching out that wants to be a part of the show. I am a little concerned about the atmosphere at Cameron Indoor the next night because, a lot of people want me to be in that building, Kyle. They want to yell at me. They want
to get you right where they want you.
I will not do that. I will not sign up for that. But we will be in North Carolina that weekend. So we're very excited. We're getting our flights booked, hopefully very soon.
Oh, I'm booked. I'm done. I booked before they told me. I'm booked. I booked before they told me I could book because I was like, I'm not missing this. Even if this falls through, I'll be there. So,
well, my mom said you're getting Southern hospitality. She is going to give you the full gamut of good food and good times. So you get the full Fraser experience. So everybody that is in North Carolina that weekend, please come join us. We're going to have some fun times and we'll see you then.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on cars.com.
On today's episode of One Shining Podcast, we have Brother Bri of Against All Odds to break down Caitlin Clark making NCAA history. She was incredible. If you didn't see this, Caitlin Clark with a logo three to set the women's career scoring record. It was insane. And Brother Bri is locked in on all things women's college basketball. So we're going to have him in to be our expert on this. We're also going to talk about the tournament ahead for the women's side and just Caitlin Clark in general, the star power that is there. And then we're going to do some conference outright. Do some FanDuel best bets for the rest of the season. So shout out to Brother Bri for coming to the show. We also have dunk champion Mac McClung on the show. We're fired up to talk to Mac about being related to Riff Raff in a past life and what he plans to do in Indianapolis this weekend. So shout out to Mac McClung. Kyle, anything else before we get into today's episode?
It's that time of year. We're shouting out Riff Raff. We're shouting out Against All Odds. We're shouting out Bill Simmons. I'm ready for the bump. But first,
Woody Durham.
He takes the timeout. They're out of foul.
Welcome to One Shining Podcast. It is Friday, February 16th, and we just witnessed history last night. And to help us break it all down, you know him from the Against All Odds podcast. He is the great Brother Bri, Brian Ciccoli. Great to see you, Bri.
What's going on, buddy? It's been a while.
Oh, I just love hearing you say that. Anytime I hear you say buddy, it just takes me back to the early days of Against All Odds. The degenerate trifecta, one of my favorite groups of people. I miss you guys. It's great to be back under the same umbrella again. Can you believe it? It took so long.
It's awesome. It was years, but I loved it. I loved it. I wish, you know, I'm not that I don't want my nephew producing our podcast, but
yeah,
I miss you doing it. It's quite fun.
Yeah, shout out to Mikey Meatballs. He's doing the Lord's work. He's kind of like in our, if we have like a production tree here, you know, it's like myself, Kyle, who's producing this podcast, and then Mikey Meatballs. We're all kind of falling in line here. You know, we've all worked with Bill or Sal or in that group of guys. So we love to see it and love to have you on the show, because speaking of Bill Simmons, he called me about a week ago, Bri, to give you a little background here. And he said, you need to pivot the show. You need to talk about women's college basketball. All he cares about is Caitlin Clark, Juju out here at USC, yeah. Right? And South Carolina with Dawn Staley and that team. I mean, obviously they have had an incredible year, undefeated right now. So I went around, I kind of asked Sal, I poked around. I was like, who should I talk to about this? Harry put his hat in the ring. Harry of Against All Odds said, I will be the guy. But cooler heads prevail. And we went back to you, Brother Bri. How much women's college basketball are you locked in on? Like, are you watching games in the same way that maybe we're watching the men's game? Like, where would you say you kind of
fall? I will say because my daughter is super into basketball. So I got into this way back when, because my sister used to be a good basketball player. So, you know, I got in on those early UConn teams, and I feel like every year it's more and more and more. And this year I'm really locked in. I mean, I hate to say it, Tate, and you probably would agree, like the women's game right now is so large. I mean, there's the stars on the women's side, just the men can't compare right now.
Yeah, people got upset with me a couple weeks ago when I brought that up, and I said that the men's side should take some lessons from the way that they've been able to market the stars of the women's game. Caitlin Clark is obviously her own star. You mentioned UConn. I think UConn women's basketball fans are probably the only group of people that are not a fan of the Caitlin Clark phenomenon. they're very upset about it. But the rest of us were witnessing history, and 8 points going into the game last night against Michigan. That's all she needed. And she opened this game with 8 straight points and then broke the record with the logo three. I mean, can you script it out any better than that, Brother Bri?
Well, you could have. You know, I bet we went over this on Against All Odds. Right. Harry and Sal did have Caitlin Clark to hit a three, and a logo three made perfect sense, especially when she came out pretty much yesterday before the game and said she wanted to break it on a logo three. I was hoping, you know, I like the better odds a little bit from a free throw, but it's amazing or incredible that she hits that, right? It's not like she's jacking up threes and missing and then finally hits on the fourth or fifth one. She almost hits like a running three. Like the way, I mean, she totally off balance, nails that. She goes on to score 23 points in the quarter, 49 for the game. It was just, I mean, it was an incredible performance. The only thing I would say, I'd be a little upset with the coach that she just didn't keep her in to get 50, because it's amazing that for these four great seasons of Caitlin Clark, she's never had 50 points, which just sounds weird.
I know she's been close, right? She said like 47, 48. And obviously she set the Iowa program record last night with 49 points. So she did do that at least. And then I thought it was a great call, by the way. I mean, it's a steal. She gets the basketball. And then the call was, how will she go for history? And then just in the split second, she goes, there it is. You know what I mean? As she drains that three. And they didn't even really stop the game because it was almost so jarring that it happened so quickly. And this is coming on the heels of the Nebraska game, where if you were watching that game, you thought, hey, if I bet on her to break the record in the Nebraska game, I'm going to make some good money here, because she's definitely going to have 8 points in that fourth quarter. She goes cold. They lose that game. There's a lot of frustration after that game. Her head coach was like yelling in the post game about, you know, the Nebraska team did the post game before her. She had to get to a flight. So there's a lot of drama going into this game, and she kind of nipped it in the bud from the start, and she just kind of handles it perfectly. I was trying to figure out like another star, and I think Curry is probably the closest one, where there's universal kind of appreciation for Caitlin Clark, other than the UConn fans that are upset because they're not the main story right now. It does feel like everybody likes her, right?
Yeah, well, she is Steph Curry, right? She is Steph Curry. And I would even say right now, right? I mean, it's a shame. I will say, great for Peacock that they had that game just to get some numbers last night. But it is a shame that everyone didn't get to witness that game, because she is such a star. She's almost a bigger star right now than the majority of NBA players. I hate to say that, but it's kind of true. Although I will say, Harry would have thrown out a conspiracy theory that she went 0 for 6 in the fourth quarter against Nebraska, up 18, and she broke the record at home following.
You know? Oh, he thinks that it was a setup. Like, she wanted to do it in front of her fans.
I mean, he didn't say that, but he would say.
That's why we didn't bring Harry on the show, because we don't have time for these conspiracies. But I appreciate where his head's at. I mean, like you said, 23 points in the first quarter, which I think was like a nice little hat tip to Pistol Pete, yeah, who has the record, you know, men's and women's in scoring. And now, you know, Caitlin and, you know, Pistol Pete are the two guys or the two people up top right now. There's also the Lynette Woodard caveat that, yeah, I want to address, because there's been a lot of people, for whatever reason, Brother Bri, people are coming at me every time that I put out like a FanDuel thing, like, acknowledge Lynette Woodard. So I wanted to say to all the Kansas fans out there, it's the NCAA's fault they don't acknowledge her record. It is not Caitlin Clark's fault. It is not FanDuel's fault. It is not anybody else's fault. But have you, you know, how do you kind of parse that reality too? Like, she still has a few more points to break that one, but she obviously will.
Well, look, yeah, she needs, I think, like 81 to break Woodard's record. Although I do find it funny, like, if they know the number, why is it unofficial? Other right. than maybe, I will say, I did not go back to the game log back in the late 70s, early 80s. It's possible maybe they were playing like some D3 schools, and, you know, it's possible they were putting up 60 or 70 in some games. I don't know what the reason is for, but it will be interesting when she breaks her record if they'll make a big thing about that. Because I do think you have to kind of, you still have to somewhat look at that as the record. And then Maravich, she's only 98 points behind Maravich. So you have to think she has four games left, likely two or three left in the Big Ten tournament. And then you got to assume she's going to play a minimum of three in the NCAA tournament. So she's going to have 10 games left. So I think she's going to beat Maravich by 200 points.
Yeah. And then you're looking at, like, can anybody get to the point to break this record, especially if she were to come back next year, which is a whole nother conversation she can really stretch it out. And Pistol Pete's record, 3,667 points, for anyone at home that's trying to keep up with that number. I love the Nike ad immediately when she breaks the record, and they quote it, "You break it, you own it."
Yes. I bought the t-shirt for my daughter last night.
Look at that.
It was sold out within about 5 minutes, and then I went on 3 hours later and there was some more shirts, but they don't ship until like April. So,
which is kind of funny. It reminds me of Steph Curry when they beat Georgetown. Remember the witness t-shirts that Nike put out with like the Davidson Wildcats? And like they were so hard. I remember like trying to find that shirt like on the internet back then, and it was just like, I need this witness Wildcat shirt, but it was impossible to find. Nike, on top of it, also a good thing as far as like the people universally liking Caitlin Clark, Dawn Staley. She was impressed when she was told in her post-game press conference that Caitlin broke the record. I mean, especially when they told her she had 23 in the first quarter, she was just like, dang, that's ridiculous. And then Angel Reese congratulated her. Obviously, they had their little rivalry last year, but she said, congrats on making herstory instead of history. So shout out to Angel Reese. So it does feel like everybody's kind of rowing in the same direction with Caitlin Clark, which is encouraging, because last year it almost felt like a house divided.
Yeah, well, you could say, between Reese, right? I mean, Reese said that. But I think they were still somewhat friendly, even though it was more of a competition there. I will say Dawn Staley, sometimes she gets annoyed by all the Caitlin Clark hype because of how, you know, I do think South Carolina doesn't get the credit they deserve over the last couple of years, although Iowa then beat South Carolina last year anyway. So I'm sure she got the credit after that game.
Yeah, we saw at the Wooden ceremony, Kyle and I were there last year. They had Caitlin and Dawn Staley kind of do like a little Q&A together. And the way that Caitlin was basically like giving all the kudos and all the flowers to Dawn Staley, she kind of killed her with kindness. And Dawn Staley in that moment, I could tell she was like, I kind of want to be, you know what I mean, contentious with this girl, but I can't, because damn, like, she's given all the right answers. And that's kind of the Caitlin Clark experience, which leads me to my next question to you, Brother Bri. Can Iowa win it all? Do we think that they are good enough this year to actually win the national championship?
Well, look, you know, I thought last year, I picked them to win their region, I remember, but I never thought they could beat South Carolina, although South Carolina had one of the worst shooting tournaments. I mean, they could not hit a three for their life. So I will say this year, look, South Carolina is dominant, but I think the tournament is a little bit more wide open. I do think there's 10 or 12 teams potentially who could get there, especially to the finals. But the one thing I'll say is, for as good as Clark was or has been, you know, last year they snuck up on teams. This year is going to be a little bit tougher. So I will say, when you go back to last year's season, they also had Monica Zanano, who was really good for them. Like, she was very good for them in the post, but she graduated. The team this year just doesn't have that inside presence. So they're going to have to rely on great three-point shooting for six games, which is going to be really tough here. So, you know, they have some tough upcoming games against Indiana and Ohio State in the Big Ten still coming up. So I think we'll see how good they are. If they finish out the season winning those last four, they definitely can make a run. I'm hesitant to say, unless Caitlin is great, she has to be great in all six games for them to win, which is going to be very tough.
And FanDuel has the odds, if you're looking at the odds right now, to win the national championship. South Carolina, the favorite at plus 100. LSU, plus 600. Iowa, plus 950. Stanford, plus 1400. UCLA, plus 1600. And UConn, plus 1900. There's also another bet there. You can take South Carolina, plus 100, or the field, minus 125. Ooh, is it worth it just to take? Would you just take South Carolina at this point? I mean, because they're defensively, they just look like a juggernaut.
Well, I will say, yeah, defensively, they are awesome. They cost me, South Carolina cost me, they must have cost me more money than anybody in basketball this year. I lost thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on them. I had them all over the place to win. The only thing I will say about this team, this South Carolina team, is they are dominant defensively, but they just don't have, I mean, Cardozo's their main scorer. I think she's averaging like 14 a game. She's not, you know, she's a big presence inside and they're tough inside. They have a lot of size, but they don't have a go-to scorer. Like last year, they had Aaliyah Boston to go to. Mm-hmm. And kudos to Aaliyah Boston. She did the halftime and post-game show last night, and she was phenomenal. She was one year out of college. I mean, how good is she for a 23-year-old? But, you know, just to say, last year they had that girl to go to. This year, I don't know if they do. So I had a lot of money on LSU coming into the season. You know, they played really well against South Carolina last time out. I thought they should have beat South Carolina. So I still kind of like LSU at 6-1 or plus 650. I don't know with South Carolina. It's really tough. They're definitely going to get to the Final Four, I think. It's just a question of if they have enough offense to win it.
And I like that Tennessee was up at halftime last night and the halftime interview, they were talking about, you know, how do you attack South Carolina? And basically Tennessee's outlook was like, you just can't be afraid to get your shot blocked. That's pretty much the way to approach South Carolina. And if you can just get past that, where you're just like, we just have to keep going to the basket and accept the fact that we're going to get swatted a few times and kind of get over the shock of how good and the size of South Carolina, you can, you know, maybe get in their head a little bit. So Tennessee showed a little bit of a blueprint in that first half last night, but South Carolina obviously answers the bell. But it's going to be a fun tournament. Last year's Final Four on the women's side was way more dramatic, was way more interesting than the men's side. And I think that's why Bill Simmons is like, I'm locked in on women's basketball. I mean, I think
it's great. It's great. I mean, I will say, again, I've been following women's basketball forever. Sometimes I used to get shit for it, but it's great. I mean, I'm so glad it's come full circle here. And how big it's gotten, especially again, I have a 13-year-old who is super into basketball. So like she wants to become what these girls are. So it's great seeing it.
Yeah, I love to see it. And Caitlin Clark right now projected to be the number one pick in the WNBA draft to go to Indiana, which kind of feels like the perfect state for her to go to. I don't want to read too much into it, but I feel a lot of people are saying like, what happens when she goes to the WNBA? Does she lose kind of the allure? We saw it with Sabrina when she went to, you know, the Liberty in New York, but she still has intrigue and interest. But I think if Caitlin goes to Indiana, those people are going to adore her and we might even hear more about her, right? Am I crazy to feel that way?
Well, it's funny because at first you would think like Indiana Fever, like blah, like this isn't great for the WNBA. You'd want her in kind of one of the major cities, but I do think it's perfect, right? Like in the Midwest, mm-hmm. Right. And they're going to form like, again, Aaliyah Boston was the first pick last year for them. So the two of them combined, they're going to be good quick. Like this team is all of a sudden going to go from the bottom in the league to towards the top in a year or two. So I do think it's good, especially in the Midwest. She's going to be just as big there. And again, a lot of this has to do with marketing, right? The WNBA is continuing to get bigger. There's going to be, you know, at some point there's going to be some expansion. Women are going to start getting paid a lot more because the right fees are generally cheaper here. So you're just going to see the game grow and grow and grow. And obviously Caitlin Clark is a huge part of this. If you told me 2 years ago, I would have told you Paige Bueckers was the reason that the WNBA was going to be big in 2 or 3 years. And it's amazing that how much it's kind of flipped, even though Clark has been awesome now for 4 years.
Yeah, one that was my last thing. FanDuel put this tweet out, which I thought was very fascinating, but they put Caitlin Clark versus Paige Beckers, who wins one-on-one? And then there was a lot of commentary about this. So I figured I'd ask you on behalf of our friends at FanDuel, who wins?
Well, I think you'd have to go Caitlin at this point. I will say Paige Beckers, I think, has a much better mid-range game. Caitlin, though, her range is so far out. I mean, that's what makes her so difficult to guard. Like when you can shoot from 35, 40 feet out, it's much tougher. And right now, again, Caitlin, the difference too, I think, is she's just been healthier. Paige has that very, very, very thin, frail body here. So I hope that holds up for her. She puts on a few pounds.
Yeah, I love AZ Fudd too. I know everybody talks about Paige Beckers, but AZ is kind of my favorite. Yeah, she's my favorite one.
She's another one, unfortunately. I mean, unfortunately for that girl, she's had, you know, like 4 or 5 major knee surgeries. So it's just become tough for her.
Yeah. Well, let's flip to the men's side. And I thought that was a great conversation. Hopefully Bill Simmons will appreciate that. Hopefully Harry's not too upset that he wasn't a part of that. Let's look at the one seeds based on the FanDuel odds. Right now, Purdue minus 9,000, UConn minus 6,000, Houston minus 500, Arizona minus 280. Do you think those will be the 4-1 seeds, or is there someone on the outside looking in, Brother Bry, that you think maybe could sneak in, you know, Tennessee, Iowa State, Marquette, North Carolina, some of those teams on the outside looking in?
Well, that's a good question here. You know, I would leave it up to you to answer the North Carolina one just because they are fading. They're fading here. So I
kind of like it, Brother Bry. I needed people to get off the sin a little bit. I think it's a good spot to be in.
I agree. You're usually not the most positive on them. So I think, yeah, they need to come down just a hair. But yeah, I don't look at them. Iowa State is an interesting one, right?
Plus 400. Yeah.
Plus 400. I mean, that's something to look at because, you know, I was looking at those regular season odds between Houston and Iowa State. And I know Iowa State goes to Houston upcoming, which is obviously a huge game. But the remainder of Iowa State's schedule really isn't that bad. Mm-hmm. It's not that bad. And you look at Houston. Houston still has to go at Baylor, at Oklahoma, home against Kansas. So that's going to be a tough stretch here. So I think you're going to see a lot of these teams, I think, lose 2 or 3 games potentially over the next couple of weeks. So some of these could fall. Houston is the one. I love them. I thought they were going to win the championship from the start of the season. But I could see Iowa State too slipping in there a little bit. I mean, I guess they both could be one seeds. I mean, it's not impossible. But
and I wouldn't be shocked if the Big 12 has 2 1 seeds, right? Just with the way that the conference is kind of revered from the outside. Sure. I think people would, you know, see that and they kind of like, okay, that makes sense that the Big 12 would have 2 number 1 seeds. And Iowa State, TJ Otzelberger, there's a lot of you know, jobs that are gonna be opening up in the offseason and a lot of people talking about Otzelberger and where he's gonna fit in. So it'll be an interesting conversation. Let's look at some of the conference outright winners that are, the races are still going on. We can start with the ACC. Right now, Carolina minus 290, Duke there at plus 240, then Virginia plus 1500 kind of falls off from there. North Carolina has to play at Cameron Indoor, which could be kind of the rubber match to see who is going to win the regular season in the ACC. Is it worth taking Duke there at plus 240?
Well,
just knowing they have to go to Cameron.
You're asking me, but I would say Duke at plus 40. Why wouldn't I take them
right now
with the way North Carolina is playing right now? Again, they lost to Harry's Cuse team the other day. You know, they still have to go to Virginia too, right?
UNC at here. So, and at Duke,
You know, and I mean, I mean, Virginia's plus 1500. I doubt they could they'd have to run the table pretty much, which would be tough. But, you know, Duke does have a tough stretch. Because they still have to go play Wake and some of those teams. But I do think plus 240 is the better value. The one thing I know for sure is I don't think I would put UNC on a bet at minus 290. I definitely like Duke at plus 240. I just for sure would not bet UNC at minus 290. It's too
high. If you can get plus money, I think it's worth it. And honestly, ever since Armando Bacot said the ACC runs through him, I do feel like that has changed the tenor of the season, especially when you think about it. If you kind of work it backwards, you're like, wait a second, RJ Davis is the ACC player of the year, but then the other guy on his team is saying that it runs through him. It was a very strange quote. I didn't even see the quote until like 2 days after the fact. And since then, it has not been running through him, Brother Bryce. So the ACC, I think Duke, there's great value there. The Big 12 is the other one. We were talking about it a little bit before, but Iowa State plus 200. Houston's the favorite at minus 180. But I think Iowa State, the way that the schedule breaks, I mean, at plus 200, great value there, right?
Well, that's what I was just saying before, too. I mean, that's the thing. Them at plus 200. And look, in that conference, it's amazing. Who would have ever thought Kansas would be plus 2,500 at any crazy point in the season, right? Even on down years, it just seems like they're still probably going to win it. I know the conference is different this year, but look, the thing is, Iowa State does go to Houston. But the thing is, like I was just saying, is like they could potentially lose that game and Iowa State could. I mean, look, if they win that game, Iowa State, they're going to win that. They're pretty much going to win the conference. Mm-hmm. But they could lose that game. And if Houston has a tough stretch, again, at Baylor, at Oklahoma, home against Kansas, they still could potentially sneak in there. So there's kind of two ways for them to get in there. So I do like the plus 200 odds.
And Kevin McCullough being out obviously changes kind of the trajectory of Kansas. But if he gets healthy and comes back and gets them on the right track, I mean, it's going to be tough. Let's look at the Mountain West. It's another fascinating conference. I mean, three teams in play here. Utah State, the favorite, plus 130. San Diego State, plus 195. And New Mexico, plus 420. Is it worth taking the Aztecs there at plus 195? I think that they're the best team.
Yeah, no, look, and I would say that for sure. I think San Diego State at plus 195. And look, you'll have to tell me for some of this. I'll be honest here, Tate. Like some of these, if you look at all of these conferences, they are so close. And you look at the trajectory of the last couple of weeks, like the tiebreakers are really tough in some of these to figure out like what will happen if they lose one more game or win here. But I do think San Diego State at plus 195. I thought that was the good play in this conference for sure.
Yeah, I like it. And the Mountain West, I mean, right now, Joe Lunardi, Mr. Bubble Boy himself, I mean, he's got six Mountain West teams in the tournament. So it's obviously a very competitive conference. Last one, looking at conference outrights, SEC, Alabama, the favorite, plus 130, Auburn, plus 210, Tennessee, plus 230. And then a precipitous drop off, Kentucky, plus 5,500. So they're not really even in the mix. Who do you like amongst those top three, Auburn, Alabama, or Tennessee?
I think Alabama's is in a good spot. I think they got some tough ones, but I think they're in the best spot when you look at a few of these other teams. Tennessee right now, even though they're plus 230, their last few games, they have a really tough stretch. Their last like three or four games when I was looking at it. So I think Bama's in the best shape. So I'd probably lean them. One thing I would ask you is I know South Carolina was god awful against Auburn the other day, but at 20-1, is looking at their schedule, is there some value there? Am I missing something? Because they're 20-1. I was just like, that's pretty good value considering the teams they have left.
It does feel like the FanDuel odds makers, they watch that Auburn game and they're like, these guys have no chance.
Right, exactly.
But they don't really factor in the fact that the jungle is like a 15-20 point advantage anyway. You know what
For
I mean?
Sure.
So that game was just a little bit ridiculous. And also that was the first time I think South Carolina got treated like a top 15 team by another team. And they got really just wrecked by Auburn, to say the least. But yeah, I think South Carolina is fascinating. I like Lamont Paris. I think if they can keep him from, you know, taking interviews and getting tampered with and staying focused on the season, that could be some good value. So I feel like that was a little knee jerk from the odds makers there on
exactly.
South Carolina.
I don't know. I'm assuming it was closer to like 12-1 before that game or something like 10-1.
Yeah, exactly.
That game. But
and everybody knows it's a little bit different. Kyle's reaching out to us about Marquette at plus 750. Marquette obviously playing UConn this weekend in the Big East. UConn heavy favorites to win the Big East, and this would be the first time they've done it since 2006, which is pretty shocking. Is it worth just taking UConn? Obviously, the odds aren't very favorable there. Or do you take a big swing on Marquette potentially?
Look, this was one of the bets I'd given out on Against All Odds. I had taken UConn to win the conference, the regular season conference. I think they were like plus 300 or plus 270 or something to start the season over Marquette and Creighton. But yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me. I mean, UConn is just so well-rounded. They can beat you so many different ways. They have good size. I mean, their shooters are great. And like Marquette, I've seen enough of them this year where at times I have not been too excited about them, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I know they're one of the better teams, but there's been some games here with Marquette in the Big East that I haven't been too comfortable with. So I'd still say, you know, UConn pretty easily.
I feel the exact same way. I feel like I've seen too much of Marquette, where I almost nitpicked them more than I have in the past. And, you know, even when Sean Jones went down, I think that had some impact on the team. But Cole's playing great basketball, going to be first team All-American. So But I also think Dan Hurley is focused on winning the regular season. He wants that banner. He wants that kind of, you know, another little check mark. So there you go. Let's do some in or out. They got odds here for teams to make the tournament. St. John's, yes, to make the tournament is at plus 154. No, minus 210. What say you, Brother Bri? You're in New York. You think St. John's will be in the dance?
No, definitely not. Unless I'm going no, unless for some reason, you know, unless again, the Patino factor, there's a lot of pull. They go on. They have to go on a run in the Big East tournament, right?
They have to make the championship probably, right?
Or at least the semifinals. They're floundering. And for them, that's a tough stretch. And when they go on the road, pretty much, you don't know what you're getting from Soriano. And when they go on the road, they're just a different team. So I think they're going to struggle. I think they pretty much, again, they have enough losses here where they can only maybe lose, you know, one or two more. After that, they're done.
And it's crazy that the Big East now, it feels like they have like five teams on the bubble. You know what I mean? There's like three or four teams in, but then like four or five teams on the bubble. One of those other teams, Villanova, right now, Villanova to make the tournament. Yes, plus 168. No, minus 230. Do you think Villanova will make the NCAA tournament?
I know they've been a little bit better, but I would say that's another one I would say no, Tate. Although, again, there's going to be some Big East team is going to fall in there, right? Because they probably are going to maybe win a couple games in the tournament. But they started off they had that stretch where they were poor. So I don't think they fight their way back.
I know, it's crazy. Like if you had said in December, early January that St. John's and Villanova would not be in the tournament, I mean, these old Big East heads, they'd bite your head off. You know what I mean? Right. They're like, of course they're going to be in the tournament. You know what I mean? So I did find that fascinating. Shout out to FanDuel for the odds. Last one, Wake Forest, who's top 35 in the net to make the tournament. Yes, is minus 270. No, plus 194. What say you, Brother Brian?
Well, see, I'm going with all the favorites here. I would definitely say yes, right? They definitely have some good wins there in the ACC. They have a couple big games coming up as well. A few big ones at home here, but they're too good, I think, to not make it.
Yeah, Lunardi has them right now first four or last four in, I believe. So yeah. I think they're going to be a little bit above that, but because the committee typically, I think, Wake's more like an 8-9 an 11 seed, but we'll see what happens there. You're going to go see Montverde play, right? I mean, we talked about women's basketball. Now we're going to talk about high school basketball, which is really the talk of the town out here in Los Angeles. What are you expecting to see in this game?
Well, look, so the Montverde's playing Lehigh. So Lehigh is located, they're only 20 minutes from me. So I've seen Lehigh play before. I go to see them every once in a while. I'm going to the Lehigh-Montverde girl game first. The girls first. And then we're going over to Hofstra to watch the boys play. But look, it's a rematch from probably about month and a half ago these two teams played, and Lehigh hung tough for the first. Lehigh is probably ranked about fifth right now in the country as well, but they hung tough for the first half, but after that Montverde just pulled away. Like, this Montverde team is pretty extraordinary. They're pretty dominant, right? I mean,
Cooper Flagg, Liam McNeely.
I didn't even want to just toss out Cooper Flagg because I didn't want it to be like, of course everybody knows Cooper Flagg, right? For Montverde. But yeah, they have some other really good players like the kid Queen and stuff like that. And then Lehigh has, you know, 7-8 legit D1 basketball players. VJ Edgecombe's going to Baylor next year. So he's actually just as fun to watch. I think he's one of the best athletes I've ever seen in high school, just athleticism. So it's going to be fun to watch them in person, but my guess is going to say Montverde. I'm rooting for Lehigh, but I'm going to say Montverde wins this one by 11 today.
Yeah. Montverde is like a super team in high school, which is, it's like them, Prolific Prep, right? I mean, there's a bunch of teams like that where you're like, how do you guys have four guys going to, you know, top tier programs? And I do like VJ going to Baylor, feels like a match made in heaven. Even Cooper Flagg going to Duke feels like a match made in heaven. Liam McNeely going to Indiana with his headband on shooting threes feels like a match made in heaven. So it'll be a fun game. And also in LA, like I said, everyone talks here about Harvard, Westlake, and Campbell Hall. And I mean, it's all about high school basketball, Brother Brian. Nobody cares about the Lakers. Nobody cares about UCLA and USC. They just want to talk about high school basketball. It's crazy.
Yeah, it should be high school basketball. I know you guys have good girls' high school basketball out there as well. And look, the Pac-12 too.
Right.
For women, I mean, for men, terrible, but for women, really good. I mean, between, you know, obviously you have that stretch there between, you know, Stanford, UCLA, USC, which is really fun right now. So, a lot of good basketball for you guys out there.
Yeah, I think the Pac-12 women's, I mean, then they have seven teams in the top 25 or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Tara Vanderveer, Stanford team, number three. Yeah.
Yeah, I will say there, Stanford will be interesting because I usually like them once it comes tournament time. They're a team that has, again, they have a ton of size. So they'll be difficult for teams. But yeah, you know, obviously you have, you know, UCLA has three or four top girls. Obviously USC Juju Watkins will be fun to watch coming up in the tournament.
And that's the thing too, like all these teams like USC, Juju Watkins, Stanford, Cameron Brink. I mean, there's kind of like a star, you know what I
exactly.
mean? That kind of packs the punch on every team.
Well, this is what happened. Well, I know Juju Watkins is different because she's a freshman, but I will say, please, women's basketball, keep your current format, because this is what makes it so great, right? And this is the allure we lost in the men's game, right? When the women are playing at least 3 years, 3 or 4 years, right? Versus, you know, one and done. Like if you got to a point on the women's side, which I'm sure at some point they'll be calling for wanting to have one and done, it will significantly hurt. It's going to significantly hurt the game.
Right.
But I will say also too, WNBA just doesn't have enough teams. So you kind of have to play a little bit longer. But when there becomes more expansion, then they're going to be calling in 10 years, they're going to be calling for, you know, girls out of high school. I'm sure how good that some of them are getting. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
It's kind of funny. It's like every league tries to copy each other. It's like college wants to copy NBA. NBA wants to copy college. Women's game wants to copy men's game. Men's game, women's, you know, it's like everybody's trying to do what the other one's doing instead of just being like, this is who we are. But I do think the women's game have figured something out with the familiarity, with the star power, and just the narrative and the storylines that go into these games. Brother Bri, you're the best. Where can we find all your work? And then we'll let you go. Enjoy your Friday.
I'm at the Brother Bri on Twitter or X, whatever they call it anymore. I will say you were talking about Instagram before with Jim Cunningham. I still don't have a great Instagram account. I got to have one at some point. But maybe that's what's stopping me.
I was going to say, if you get an Instagram account, Jim Cunningham is sending memes 24/7. So Godspeed. Good luck to you. Appreciate you coming on the show, man. We'll have you back as we get closer to March. And hopefully we'll have Harry back too, or on for the first time. And he can talk about some of his thoughts.
Yeah, let's
get him on
for some conspiracy theory women's basketball.
Grand Canyon. He loves Grand Canyon. That's the one team he wants to talk about. So there you
for
go.
Sure.
Brother Bri, you're the best. Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks, Nate.
College basketball season is heating up and FanDuel wants you to join in on all the action. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets when your first $5 bet wins. That's $150 extra bucks to bet anything from point spreads to money lines to who's going to win it all. If you go right now to FanDuel Sportsbook, you can see all the futures for the Final Four National Championship. So if it's a team that you believe in, now is the time to take them. On the women's side, you can take South Carolina +100 to win the national championship. They're undefeated. Makes a lot of sense to me. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to join than now. The app is easy to use, and when you win, you get paid instantly. So visit FanDuel.com/OSP and bet on college hoops until they cut down the nets. Must be 21 or older and present in select states. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit theringer.com/RG. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Joining us now on One Shining Podcast, you know him from his days in college basketball playing for Patrick Ewing at Georgetown. I have my Patrick Ewing bobblehead right next to me, or playing for Coach Beard at Texas Tech. Or you might know him as the slam dunk champion in the NBA. He's the great Mac McClung. Mac, great to see you, man.
Man, great to see you. I appreciate you having me on here.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about this. This is a college basketball specific show, as you know. So we like to talk about college basketball. I wanted to figure out like kind of where your loyalty lies, if there is any loyalty that lies. You know, I mean, you played at Georgetown for Coach Ewing, like I said, played for Coach Beard at Texas Tech. Are you one of those guys where you're just like pulling for the best game possible? Or do you have like some sort of affinity for a team that you grew up liking? Let's start there.
Man, you're hitting me with the tough questions.
I know. I'm sorry. I came out the gate hot for you. I apologize.
I truly have love for both of them.
Good.
That's
the right answer.
Yeah, they were great for me and whatever, and for different parts of my life. And man, I truly loved where I ended up in Lubbock with Texas Tech, and I will visit there a lot. And you know, even till today, I still talk to Patrick Ewing. He'll text me here and there and check up on me. So I have a great relationship with both parties.
It's actually better. It's actually smart. Like in the transfer portal era that we live in now, Mac, you can kind of create a bigger fan base by being able to go play here for a couple years. And then once that changes, you can go somewhere else and play. That's kind of the new landscape of college basketball in general. Are you watching college basketball? That's always what I ask guys that are playing the G League and the NBA. It's tough to kind of keep up with the games, or do you do your best to keep up with as much as you can? Obviously Texas Tech just blew out Kansas the other night.
Yeah, man. I love, I can't say I watch a ton. The games I most watch, surprisingly, are Elon and Miami, Ohio. My two best friends play for Miami, Ohio and Elon. So I'm really tuned into those games more than any games.
Hell, but
I'm
yeah.
watching some Texas Tech when I get a chance.
Shout out to my Elon Phoenix, man. I did not expect a Mac McClung shout out to the Elon Phoenix, but we love to see that. I just kind of want to get like pick your brain a little bit. I know when you first came out, there was a lot of people that was like Mac McClung, he's at Georgetown. They were singing Post Malone, White Iverson to you. That was like a big moment in time. Like who did you kind of model your game after, or who do you currently model your game after? Or are you kind of one of those guys that's like, I'm Mac, I do Mac, I do me. And that's just kind of what it is.
Yeah, I think I definitely try to be myself, but at the same time, I steal from everybody. I try to steal from a little bit of like people who are, you know, different athleticisms and different heights. Like you can see people use their body in different ways. And just I feel like as much as I can take from each player, even players I play with in the G League, I'm like, oh, man, like I could use that. So I think the biggest thing is I just try to keep taking things from everybody.
Yeah, I like that. Take a little bit of something from everybody's game, and then you make your game better. Last year, you were one of the great stories in all of basketball, whatever level, international, domestic, whatever it is. I mean, you come in, you know, as a G League guy, you come into the dunk contest, you know, you're wearing the Sixers jersey, you go and win the dunk contest. And as the contest was kind of unfolding, Mac, you could see like Dominique Wilkins, his eyes kind of perk up. You could see, you know, Dr. J sitting on the sidelines. He's like, oh, wow, we got a good one. You know, it kind of felt like the first time the contest had some juice since like 2016 with Zach LaVine. Did you realize that in the moment that you were kind of getting the attention of all these guys who are the greats at dunking the basketball?
Yeah, I mean, I felt a ton of love in the arena. I just remember like I had my first dunk and just like I felt the arena like kind of just feel me. You know, they're like, okay, like, and it just like, it was incredible, man. It felt like I was out there for 20 seconds and then it was all over, but it was awesome to talk to those people after and just kind of have a little support from them. Was really cool.
Did you have a dunk contest guy? Like was there someone that you grew up watching or dunk contest you had watched as a kid that you were like, I want to kind of model it after that moment, maybe Vince Carter 2000, even like Jay Rich, you know, back in the day, early 2000s as well? Or is it more of a, I don't want to see other guys because it could kind of, you know, mess up my own creativity in my own head?
I definitely, Jay Rich also, that's a great shout out. Jay Rich was incredible in the dunk contest. But
back-to-back champ, Mac.
Yeah, man.
He could be you.
I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully. But I would watch all the contests just to see how things were kind of judged and how players would put their dunks in certain categories. So I can't lie and say I didn't do a lot of research and try really hard. And this year the same. I mean, I've worked really hard. It was almost harder this year just because I'd used most of my dunks. But with my team and Chuck, who's all helped me, I'm so excited. But this year, hopefully I can make my dunks. There's some dunks in there that I think there's three dunks that haven't ever been done in the dunk contest. And two, I don't think anyone, I've never seen anyone do. So hopefully I can make them and bring some juice back to it.
I like that. I like that you're trying to go outside the box. I was going to ask you, like, how much do you think about the prop part of it versus the dunk part of it? Because there is some sort of blurred line there where, you know, I mean, I remember Dwight Howard, he got the Superman cape out, right? And that was, you know, when you have the fanfare, that always adds some intrigue to it. And you got to kind of play to where you are. You're going to be in Indianapolis. But do you worry about the prop aspect and like trying to get the crowd involved? Or are you just saying, technically, I want to worry just about the dunks?
I think for me, I think you have to have a little bit of props here and there, but I don't think I have enough charisma to have like the big Superman. I don't have that charisma,
right.
But, definitely a little bit, of props in there to keep it exciting. But the biggest focus on me is the dunks and trying to have that be its own art kind of, and, hopefully it'll speak for themselves. And I think that's when kind of I enjoy watching the dunks the most.
Well, last year you did it as a Sixer. You won the dunk contest for them. So that was a big plug for the Sixers. Shout out to them. This year you'll be doing it under the Orlando Magic banner. They've only had one guy win the dunk contest, Dwight Howard. The Magic, I mean, obviously, you know, you got the G League connection too as well. You're back and forth. But is there like some push within the organization where they want to support you a little bit because they want to add another, you know, dunk contest to their, this would be their second dunk contest winner ever?
Yeah, no, they've been very accommodating and supportive throughout this process, getting me help and, you know, make sure I got all access to the gyms. And I mean, my teammates, I'll probably bother them the most, just showing them all the dunks. Like, is this good enough? You like, is this good enough though? But no, everybody's been so supportive, man. I'm really lucky on that aspect.
Yeah, you're the favorite right now. We have the FanDuel odds, and the FanDuel believes that you can go back-to-back, be back-to-back Mac. I don't want to put that too much in your face, but that's good news that they believe. They saw something last year. From the Indiana side of this, right, you got to kind of placate the audience a little bit. I have some options for you that I think you could do that could get the people fired up. One, you could always pull out the Indiana State Larry Bird jersey. You know what I mean? Like, that would always be a nice little, like, tip of the cap. Indiana people are going to love that. Another thing you could do, because Indiana, they love fundamentals. Maybe the first thing you do, Mac, instead of missing a dunk, you just lay it in fundamental. You know what I mean? You just do like a nice little layup. You get the crowd, you know, they're kind of rocking. They're saying this guy understands the game. It's not just about highlights for him. But then my third one is a big one. There's this guy at Indiana State. Robbie Avila is his name. He rocks the rec specs. He's 6'10". He kind of plays like Joker a little bit, Jokic. And he's a point center. He's 6'10". I don't know if he's going to be around for the weekend, but if you could bring him in, Mac, and dunk over him, I think that would be a nice prop piece. And I don't have Robbie's personal contact info, but those are just three things off the top of my head to make Indiana people happy.
Man, I appreciate that. I mean, you got some good points there, especially maybe putting some chest passes, you know, just showing I'm here.
Fundamentals. That's what they want.
But no, I'll take those. I will take those and think about them.
Yeah, just let that marinate in your mind. You don't have to do it, but I feel like if Robbie Avila walks out there with the rec specs, the crowd's going to go insane and people are going to be fired up about this. Do you know any of the other guys that are in the contest? Like, do you talk to the other guys? Like, what is kind of the gamesmanship there? Like, is it worth reaching out, or do you kind of want to just be isolated a little bit?
Yeah, no, I mean, I've watched these guys since I was a younger kid, especially, you know, Jaylen Brown, watching his, like, he's incredible. Jacob Toppin, man, that kid, he's incredible too. I think he's going to do some awesome things. And Hami, man, I don't think people understand how good Hami is. And, you know, that's why I think this year is just anybody could win. It's just a bunch of just really gamers. You know what I mean? So I think it'll be really exciting.
Yeah. Are you excited just to like be in Indianapolis for the weekend? Like, how much of that too did it kind of wash over you? Obviously, you know how good of a player you are. You've always kind of manifested the fact that you're going to be playing professional basketball. But last year, did it really hit you? Like, when you were there in the moment, you're like, man, I'm around all of these all-stars, all these guys that I've watched play. And now, like, I'm a part of the show myself.
Man, I think the biggest part I realized that was when I got back to my hotel room after the dunk contest, maybe 20 minutes. And I got in the room and it was me and my boys. And we're like, what just happened? Like, what is going on here? Like, I felt like an imposter. I mean, I don't take for granted. I'm truly lucky to be a part of this weekend. And I don't understand, you know, why I do get to be a part of it sometimes. And I'm really grateful, truly.
One last thing that I want to hit you with. They made a new movie. Obviously, the original is incredible. Woody Harrelson, Wesley Snipes, White Men Can't Jump. It's always been a trope for us American white guys. You know, myself, I grew up, as soon as I got to high school, they're like, you're a shooter. You shoot threes. You do this. You're a specialist. You know, you have the bounce. You have the athleticism. I think you should have been in White Men Can't Jump, the remake. I just wanted to put that out there. Did anyone reach out to you? Did you ever hear anything about this? Because they needed Mac McClung in the movie.
I don't think we ever talked about being in the movie. I think there were some other things we discussed, but that would have been awesome. I would have really enjoyed that. I think they probably shot the movie way before any of that happened, I'm guessing, but that would have been super cool.
Well, they had Jack Harlow in the movie, and you know, they were saying that he didn't even play basketball. So I feel like they needed somebody out there that could get some hops and make something happen. You were my first pick on the board, Max. So just wanted to point that out for everybody out there. Maybe next time, maybe for the sequel, they get Mac McClung involved. Last time I talked to you, I know we debunked this whole thing, but I always think it's funny to, has Riff Raff reached out to you since you have won the dunk contest? I know Riff Raff was a big part of your early high school kind of hype. He got you on World Star. Did he reach out when you won the dunk contest?
I really didn't even check my messages after the contest. For so crazy. But yeah, like obviously Riff Raff is not my cousin, but yeah. I don't have a problem. He's always been super supportive. Like you said, he wanted to get my name out there and he wanted the world to see me. So it's not a problem. It's just, you know, when it comes to like family, like that is not generally a family member of mine. So it's like, I have no problem at all. I think he's, you know, he just wanted to support me and I appreciate that, honestly.
It was a hilarious moment in time. And Riff Raff is a hilarious character. Obviously, Spring Breakers, the movie with Gucci and Selena Gomez and all of them was based on Riff Raff at some level. James Franco playing a version of Riff Raff. And the World Star era was just a great era. And Mac McClung, you were in the height of it. So we love to see that. Speaking of heights, let's talk about your insoles, because this is something that you're trying to make sure people know. Your Victory insoles, they are fiber, not foam. This is, you have a sweepstakes for the dunk contest, right? That will be giving away 500,000 in custom insoles. And apparently they're sending us insoles, myself and our producer, Kyle. So shout out to you for that. So fans can now register at victory.com for a chance to win gold Victory carbon fiber performance insoles with a limited edition top cover design featuring Mac and a list of his career accomplishments. So Mac, do you think that the Victory insoles are the difference? Are they the reason that you can take that next leap to win the dunk contest again?
Man, they are incredible, and I think it's really cool. They're going to give $500,000, like you said. That's a ton of
insane.
I mean, that's incredible. So, like, I would sign up myself. If you go to vktry.com, sign up, chance to get them. If I win, no pressure on me. But no, it's something really cool they're doing. It's something I started wearing, and it's an advantage. Seriously.
Can you tell the difference, like the foam versus fiber? Can you, like, if there's just a regular guy out there, if he puts in the fiber, can he get up a little bit higher for, like, you know, maybe a nice little up and under layup? I'm not going to say he's going to dunk, but maybe a little up and under. That might be it.
Most definitely. I think once you get him, you got to try him and let me know how it goes, because they have a spring to them. It's like when you put on a shoe and it's like, oh, I got a little extra bounce. So
yeah, it's like the Nike Shox back in the day, right? As soon as you put the Shox on, even if you didn't think you could dunk, you felt like you could once you put those shoes on. Mac McClung, you're the best, man. We're going to be pulling for you this weekend. Good luck with everything, and I hope we see you as a back-to-back dunk champion.
Man, I truly appreciate it. Thank you very much.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
There you have it, Mac McClung. We're pulling for him this weekend in Indianapolis, in Naptown is what they like to call it. So hopefully Mac McClung makes things happen. Hopefully the insoles.
You call it Naptown?
Naptown. That's what that's like the hip thing to say when you talk about Indianapolis. And the only reason I know that is because I reached out to some people and they said, are you going to be in Naptown this weekend? And I had no idea. Maybe because it's a sleepy city.
Sounds like a sleepy little village to me. I don't know.
Well, we've been to Naptown together once upon a time, Kyle. So we know what Indianapolis looks like.
Have we?
Didn't we, when we did our tour back in what, 2018 or so, whatever it was?
We did
didn't we drive through?
Maybe we drove through. We did Bloomington, Indiana. That was for sure good. And then I think I remember about this much of Louisville. I just remember being yanked out of a car and Titus was like, "Get up, man." Like, I think he was like, "It's
you
time
were
to-
asleep in the back seat." I was asleep in the front seat. Titus was you know, just staring, driving us with trying to get us there as quickly as possible. So yeah, we you and I were both asleep for most of our trip there. But great. Maybe that's Naptown. Why it's Naptown.
Naptown.
That's why it checks out. It is Naptown. Speaking of Mark Titus, let's talk about his alma mater, because the first domino, we talked with Kyle Mann about this, the first domino in the coaching carousel. Thank God we did that show when we did, Kyle, because literally 24 hours later.
Sniff that out.
Yeah, the first domino fell. Chris Holtmann, the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, is no longer the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes. Shout out to Adam Jardy, who covers this for the Columbus Dispatch. But it sounds like Chris Holtmann went to work like it was a regular day, got to his office, and as soon as he walked in, he was told to go report to the AD's office, Gene Smith. And then Gene Smith was the one that let him know that he is no longer the head coach there. And now we have our first major opening, and the Jeff Goodmans of the world, the insiders of the world, are trying to put Shawn Miller there. Kyle, live look at Shawn Miller at Ohio State. There's a lot of the press is fully on. Shawn Miller wants to go to a place that has NIL resources. Ohio State kind of checks the box. I'm not necessarily jumping on the Shawn Miller bandwagon. I'm going to miss the Shawn Miller podcast at Xavier if he does leave, but it does seem like he's the top candidate, Kyle. I don't know if you've seen this news.
He if he likes chicken and noodles too, I mean, you've got Nancy right there.
He's
going to
be locked in. Yeah, I feel like it's going to be a guy that understands Ohio. There's a lot of names that have been thrown out. Mick Cronin, obviously, at UCLA is a name that we've heard. Chris Mack, who used to be the Xavier head coach, is another name that has been thrown out there. You know, even got Anthony Grant, who's at Dayton, is a name that has been thrown out there. Wes Miller at Cincinnati is a name. So anyone that has any sort of Ohio ties, you are going to be in the conversation to be the Ohio State head coach. John Gross, who's at Akron, is another name. He used to be an assistant coach there for Thad Matta. I am fascinated to see how this all plays out at Ohio State. It is going to be an interesting search, but it is impressive that they got ahead of everybody else. They're just trying to basically say, we are the first tentpole program that is going to get the top head coach on the market. I mean, Nate Oates has been thrown out there. Porter Moser's been thrown out there. No Will Wade yet, but we'll see if Willie the Kid is a name that gets thrown out there. But, you know, thoughts and prayers to our guy, Mark Titus. Hopefully, you know, they figure out the future, and maybe he even throws his hat in the ring. Mark Titus, Greg Oden, that could be a nice duo there in Columbus. So we'll see.
There is something to being first, right? There's, especially if you're like a marquee name and not a, you know, it's not a Chicago State, no offense, but like, it's,
yeah, yeah.
There is good. Something to being first, because then you're on all the headlines, right? And even the coaches that are probably secure that you would want, now they're in some sort of article on, you know, on these websites as well. So shout out.
Lamont Paris, another name that's the hot name at South Carolina. His name has been thrown out there as well. Yeah, I mean, DePaul fans were very upset with me that I was talking about them and their search and did not give them the same, you know, credence that they were the first domino. They wanted to be the first domino. I mean, they were the first step. I'm not going to say they were the first domino, but they
were on
the board.
What was the last time DePaul even had dominoes? Like, really?
I don't know. I mean, 1980. Shout out to our guy, Mark Aguirre. I do think that DePaul, you know, they have some cachet. Hopefully they can make something happen. But Ohio State, all eyes on Columbus, Ohio, as they figure this out. It'll be an interesting search, a lot of planes and a lot of conversations about that.
Interesting,
so there
fact
we go.
About Columbus. Did you know that they're like, please. I can't remember if Mark Titus told me this or a guy way before I met Mark Titus told me this, but I've just been repeating this ad nauseum whenever Columbus comes up. Is it's got apparently like the demographics most closely resemble the nation of like there's this many black people, there's just so many Asians, there's just so many whatever. So like wow. There it best mimics the country. So in Columbus, Ohio, that's where all these fast food places try out their new. That's where like the McDonald's has weird shit because they're testing it with the good people of Columbus. So yeah, I just thought that was interesting that like, if you live in Columbus, you probably, you know, go to Wendy's or something. Cause there might be like some new fancy menu thing that they're testing to see if America would like.
Yeah. So, Wendy's breakfast or like Taco Bell breakfast or one of these things is happening. It's like a microcosm of America. So
when Jimmy John starts breakfast, they're going to get it first.
Yeah. I mean, shout out to Columbus. That's good news. Maybe that's something they sell to the new head coach. You know what I mean? You can get some of the fresh fast food items that are first coming out from
new
Wendy's.
Chick-fil-A. That new Chick-fil-A. Check it out.
That would be great. Shout out to the book guy from Detroit Mercy. He was obviously famous on this show for going to all the winless games. Detroit Mercy gets their first win of the season against IUPUI. The book guy was there. He was reading Sea of Greed.
The one guy on the floor.
No, he was not the one guy that rushed the court. I was hoping that they could be one and the same, but there was book guy in the crowd. There was guy who stormed the court by himself. That is like something you do to your friends in like middle school. Where you're like, we're going to do this. And then the first and guy goes, everybody just points and laughs at him. Yeah, they're like, what an idiot. Got his ass. So the book guy, good for him to see a win. Maybe he like poked his head up and saw the final score. That was probably great. And then, like you said, the one guy that decided to storm the court, that was great news. So Detroit Mercy no longer defeated. They get their first win. MVSU, all eyes on you. You are now on the clock to get a win this year. We're pulling for you. So shout out to you. Shout out to FDU, by the way. Players got stuck in an elevator before the LIU game, and they were in there for 15 minutes. They said it was very hot. And they ended up winning the game after being stuck in the elevator. So FDU obviously famously beat Purdue last year as a 16 seed. This year, they famously got stuck in an elevator before a game against LIU. They do get the win in the end. But college basketball, I mean, the stories that you get in this sport are undefeated. You'll never get anything like it. You'll never, you know, and then FDU's like tweeting like their elevator working. Like as kind of like a nice little follow-up. So
great.
I did not think that was going to be the case, but good stuff. Also want to shout out Bo Jackson. He was at the Auburn basketball game against South Carolina. Auburn absolutely destroyed South Carolina by 40 points in this game. And Bo Jackson, a fan came down to try to take a selfie with him, and he told the fan to watch the game.
He gave him like Bo some fatherly advice. He was like, no, man, watch the game. It wasn't just like a no. He was like, you should be watching this game, man.
Right. It was like, this don't is what you should be doing. This is not how you act. It was a very like an etiquette moment. You know what I mean? Like this is not
put him on some game.
Doing.
Yeah.
Right. And Auburn, famously known as a football school, but Bo knows that they are now a basketball school. So he is involved. He is invested. And shout out to him for making that happen. Shout out to Wazoo. Big win over Cal. Miles Rice, Isaac Jones were both incredible in this game. And during the game, they were talking about Wazoo as an 8-9 up against a one seed. And they do kind of have the pieces for an upset. So I don't want to get too excited about Wazoo, but they've won 9 of their last 10 games. And Miles Rice looks like one of the best players in the Pac-12 and also one of the best stories in the country. So shout out to them. Shout out to the Maui Invitational 2024. We'll be back at the Lahaina Civic Center. It is official. They announced that it will be back there. So it's going to be a great field. North Carolina is going to be there. UConn's going to be there. If you're looking at that 2024 field, you and I are looking because we want to be there in Maui at the Lahaina Civic Center. So great news for everybody involved and for college basketball. That is
come
that
on,
is
FanDuel.
Amazing
we
stuff.
Can gamble on it. Come on,
come on, FanDuel.
People can gamble on it. Let's go. You sent me to Puerto Rico for no real reason. Let's go to Maui.
Yeah, whatever it takes. You know what I mean? Like that's really what it comes down to. But we want to be in Maui. We want to support Maui, and it is the best tournament in college basketball. So we want to be back. Shout out to Xander Rice, game winning three from basically half court against Campbell. Shout out to the CAA Monmouth with a big win there, and J.R. Reed, my guy, assistant coach for Monmouth, getting a nice win there. So we'd love to see that. Also, shout out to King Rice. Last one, shout out to Danny Neckel is his name. He is doing the Lord's work. He's a Virginia guy on Twitter, but he tweeted this, and I thought it was great. Clemson has more road wins against top 12 net teams than every team in the Big Ten, SEC, Pac-12, and Mountain West have combined. But yet, Joe Lunardi says the ACC is a 3-4 bid league. Make it make sense. Nobody knows. But it is good stuff. And shout out to Danny doing the Lord's work. A lot of people going at Joe Lunardi's neck. I used to fight these bubble boys. Now I don't even have to. There's way more people that are fighting the good fight out there. So Godspeed to all of you that are doing that. And, you know, those are all my shout outs. Kyle, do you have anything else?
I went to look up some college basketball news, but I mean, shout out to Caitlin Clark. She's just everywhere.
She's everywhere.
The Fairleigh Dickinson elevator is mucking up my search. Even on three, it's got nothing. Even on three, man. Which I'm like, you know what? I can just cut through the noise. And on three, it's just like coaches Caitlin describing Clark. Their struggles or, describing their struggles against this one. So shout out to on three for just getting super in the weeds with the news. I don't know if you can call this stuff news. Anyway, I've got games to watch. So today,
I'll see some games to watch.
just today, there's not much. Villanova, Georgetown, I know. But also there's Canisius. Canisius, not Canisius. Shout out to that guy on Twitter. It's Canisius Marist. Shout out. They're playing again today if you got nothing to do. Saturday, I got a bunch
do they,
for you.
Do they play each other every 5 days? Like, what is going on?
Shout out to the Metro Atlantic. What is that what it's called? The Mac? Metro Atlantic?
Yeah, anyway. It's two A's in there.
M-A's.
Yeah.
Okay, Saturday, you ready? We got Texas Tech, Iowa State. No slouches in that game. Creighton Butler.
Yeah,
gonna be good probably. One. That one's probably tough. Marquette, UConn. That's circled. That's circled and underlined and italics and bold. That's a good
that's
one.
That's going to be a great UConn. Game. Yeah. Top five matchup there in the Big East. Last year in the Big East
and
tournament,
in the
great
fucking,
game.
And the whole, in the whole AP, even, like, if everyone cares about the AP. So that's going to be good. We got Kansas, Oklahoma. Oklahoma's finally ranked. I think that should be good. And Kansas is, like, losing left and right. So we've got Kentucky, Auburn, just for the Monday show. That'll be great.
I might
be active on the text for this one, Kyle. Yeah. I've noticed I can poke and prod if I make it seem like I'm like, wow, that other team is really good, or what's going on with the Kentucky. I know this. He'll be like, I'm sure he's like trying to not to explode over there. So I'll be active on the text chat for that one.
I think Kentucky fans are very worried about this because the jungle is a different animal. And like I said, Auburn's like a 20-point favorite at home against anybody. And throw in the fact that they have Kentucky on their jerseys, they're going to be fired up. So Godspeed and good luck to our friend Kyle Mann and all the Kentucky fans out there.
Nice. And then we've got some state rivals. We've got Arizona, Arizona State, and we've got Michigan, Michigan State. That's fun.
Yeah, Michigan State. Fun. Yeah, that'll be good. Juwan Howard, he had some very strange post-game interactions. He told Illinois, "You're welcome for Terrence Shannon being there."
That's so which weird.
Very strange to say. He also
definitely the weird guy to use, right? I mean,
yeah, very yes. With all the implications there, very strange to say you're welcome. And then at the end of his press conference, he said that he was in the hospital for 15 days and thought he was going to die. So every day that he is coaching basketball is a great day.
Wow. Way to buy yourself some time, Juwan.
Really. Well, I mean, it is a very fair point. But it is, like I said, it seems like Michigan is going to, Ward Manuel, their AD, said they're going to stand pat with him. He's going to be their head coach. So Ohio State makes a move. Michigan seems like they're not going to make a move. They're going to stay with the system that is Juwan Howard. He said he is a system very similar to James Harden. So the Michigan system moves on and Michigan State, that'll be good.
Nice. Shout out to Troy. We got one game on Sunday. Sunday seems like it's like one of those, what is that, Ivy League days? But we do have Seton Hall, St. John's, and I think that's the best game of Sunday. And I think those are both two scrappy teams, and they both kind of need these wins if we're, you know, they're both bubble teams, right? Seton Hall would not be considered in the tournament, but they could be, right? Just like any of these other ones.
They're on the right side of the bubble, I think. And I think that St. John's is on the bad side of the bubble. So, I mean, Shaheen Holloway versus Rick Pitino is going to be a great game.
Love Shaheen Holloway. I just love these Big East coaches. I say it all the time. I just like Kim English. I like all these guys. I think what a great league for coaches.
It's very old Big East. And the new Big East is old Big East. So we love to see it. It's good stuff in college basketball. Some great games to watch. Hope everybody's tuning in. Also this weekend, you got NBA All-Star. You got the Genesis Invitational out here at Riviera. I'm going to be there on Sunday. Hopefully Tiger Woods will be playing. Yeah, I'm excited.
Dudes are talking about getting tickets. It seems like Sunday. I didn't realize how close it was. It's like 40 minutes from me.
Oh, it's in the Palisades, man. It's right there, right down Sunset Boulevard. And if Tiger makes the cut, Kyle, it's going to be an awesome weekend. So Sunday, we'll be there for that, which will be great. And then Daytona 500, if you're a NASCAR guy.
Oh, my mom is aware. She's already told me all about it.
All my people back in North Carolina are very excited about that. So it's a good weekend for sports in general. And Mac McClung, please go win the dunk contest so we can take credit for it. That's what we want. We want a positive bump here, a little back-to-back dunk champion. We love to see that. But again, this is One Shining Podcast. Appreciate everybody tuning in. We'll be back on Monday with Kyle Mann. We'll see you then. Thanks again to our friends at FanDuel. Must be 21 or older and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. In Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Vermont, and Virginia, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.